Hey everybody, it's Jeff. It's an exciting time around here because we're celebrating the 5th anniversary of Your Move. That's right, Your Move has been helping people make better decisions and live with fewer regrets for 5 years. And Your Move doesn't just include the podcast you're about to listen to. You can also find Your Move online, on network television, Netflix, and through the Your Move app. Bringing Your Move episodes to all of these places and keeping it free isn't cheap. So if listening to Your Move has inspired you to live life a little differently, would you consider supporting Your Move with a donation? It's the generosity of people like you, our listeners and subscribers, that makes Your Move possible. While we only do this kind of thing once or twice a year, we do want to give you the opportunity to support Your Move right now. So hit the pause button on your treadmill at the gym, close that Excel spreadsheet if you have it open at work, or pull your car over to the side of the road if you're driving and go to yourmove.is/give. That's yourmove.is/give to give now. Thanks for your support. We really do believe that the next 30 minutes will help you make better decisions and live with fewer regrets. So today, we're going to continue with Andy's second message in his 4-part series, Breathing Room. Sometimes we can't enjoy anything because we're trying to do everything. In this episode, Andy explains the value of limiting what you do.
My inclination and your inclination is to do so much that we don't enjoy much of what we do. And here's how you know that you're in trouble in terms of your schedule. You say this a lot. I might be 15 minutes late. I might have to leave a few minutes early. I might be 15 minutes late. I might have to leave a few minutes early. Honey, I'll be at your recital, but I might miss the first 7 or 8 kids. Now, honey, exactly when do you perform? Because I want to show up, stand in the back, see my daughter perform, and get on to whatever else is next. So when I get home, I can say, oh, you were fantastic, but I didn't stay for the other 42 kids whose names I didn't know and songs I didn't like. So, you know, I got to work it all in so I can work it all out. You know, you drive too fast, you eat in the car, it's just go, 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 go. And you kind of meet yourself coming. You're at work. We're going to talk about this in a few weeks. You're at work and you're thinking, I really need to be at home. Then you're at home and you're thinking, I really need to be working. Then you're at work and you're thinking, gosh, I wonder what's going on at home. Then you're at home and you're worried about work. And you just cram it in. Your kids are going in all kinds of different directions. Or you're single and you just can't say no to anything. Anything anybody wants you to do. It's like, yes. Then you think, why did I commit to that? Then you're too afraid to back out. And so your life's just crammed full of stuff. So today, we're going to talk about how to solve that, how to address that. And if this is not happening to you, how to keep this from happening. And there are several approaches we could take. We could do like a time management seminar. Those don't work. And the reason they don't is because the people that do time management seminars are trying to sell you something most of the time. And that's okay. You should buy that stuff. But if your personality isn't geared toward their particular system, you go home and you do it for a while and then you just don't do it anymore. But you should try to find some sort of time management system. We could talk about calendars. We could talk about pacing. There's lots of things we could talk about in this regard. But I'm so excited about today's message because we're going to talk about one thing, one big idea with one application that literally, I know this sounds like preacher talk, could change your life. And the reason it could change your life is because it will change your time. And I don't know if you know this, but your time is your life. As your time goes, so goes your life. As your schedule goes, so goes your life. And we're going to get this big pearl of wisdom from none other than Moses. Now, if you have a Bible or you want to follow along or you're at home or you got one on your phone or whatever, we're going to be in Psalm chapter 90, Psalm 90. And when you think of Psalms, you think of David. But this is actually a psalm written by Moses. Now, Moses had 4 lives. This is so fascinating. And this is why we should take him seriously. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's household as an adopted. He was Hebrew, but he was raised as an Egyptian. So he had the first part of his life, everything going his way, you know, plasma televisions everywhere. It was just awesome, you know, because he lived with Pharaoh and he was just whatever. And he just, you know, he had it made. Then he kind of fell out with Pharaoh's family because he murdered this guy and I shouldn't have done that. And then he threw him out. And then for the next segment of his life, he's a shepherd. Now you're talking about some slow days. Today you take your sheep out and you sit. And you just watch the sun go across the sky, then you round them up and take them back in and put them in the pen. The next morning he gets to do the same thing. 40 years as a shepherd. And you need to understand this, Moses did not know his own story. Moses, 40 years a shepherd, and he's thinking, this is it. I watch the sheep die, eventually I die, I'll have a few kids, my grandkids will remember my name, and then nobody remembers Moses ever again. He didn't know we'd be talking about him. Then, that's the second part of his life. The third part of his life, you know this, he ends up back in Egypt. You know, let my people go, and the river of blood, and all these signs and wonders and all this pestilence and plagues. And so now he's God's mouthpiece. And if you read the story, it's like, why am I doing this? I don't even speak well. So next thing you know, he's in all of this controversy at the epicenter at one of the biggest events in world history, where he faces down Pharaoh and says, let God's people go. Then the fourth part of his life, next thing he knows, he's the leader of a nation. And they're marching out of Egypt into God knows where. Literally, God knows where, and to the land of Canaan, the promised land, okay? And now he's the leader, and all these people are murmuring and complaining, and God says, I'm sick of them. I'm not going to let them go. So Moses, for the rest of your life, you're going to lead these people around in a circle till they all die. That's just awesome. So I'm raised in Pharaoh's home. Then for 40 years, I'm a shepherd staring at sheep. Then I'm like in the middle, I'm Mr. Somebody in the middle of everything going on politically in Egypt. And now I'm just wandering around and around and around in the desert. And then at the end of his life, if you read the Bible, in fact, you should read the Bible. He gets to the edge of the promised land. He's got all these people with him, the whole nation. And God says, oh, you can't go in. It's like, what? I'm Moses. What do you mean I can't go in? God says, you can't go in. I'm going to let you go up on a mountain and look at it. Because, you know, your eyes are still good. That's why you can see so well. You're going to get up on a mountain and look at the promised land, but you can't go in. Now, this guy has some perspective on time, okay? And in the 90th Psalm, he gives it to us. And I'm telling you, this is the context for every decision we make as it relates to time. In fact, you don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be a religious person. You don't even have to believe Moses was a historical character. This is absolutely fascinating. And I hope at the end of our time today, all of us are a little bit in awe of these words, because they establish the context for every decision we make, and specifically what we cram in and what we pull out. So let me read these verses to you. They're a little tricky. It's ancient text. It's ancient stuff. It's Hebrew back to English. So a little bit tricky, but I'm going to read. You can follow along, Psalm chapter 90. And then at the end, he gets to this powerful, powerful punchline. Here's how it goes. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Talking about the nation of Israel, that and on all people, that throughout all the generations, we've kind of lived within the context of who you are. He continues. Before the mountains were born, that's a cool imagery right there. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, he was a creationist, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So he says, God, you know, the arrows go in both directions. You are everlasting to everlasting. And somewhere in the middle of, or between the bookends of everlasting and everlasting, there's me, Moses, and there's us, the nation of Israel. Everlasting to everlasting, and then pause, here we are. And then he makes this incredible statement. I love this. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. That's like the greatest Gandalf statement in the whole Old Testament, right there, isn't it? Return to dust, you shall not pass. You know, return to dust, you mortals. Now that's, this is a little offensive to us and our modern way of thinking, but it wasn't to Moses. And this was his way of saying that God controls the beginning and the ends, that God controls and has input into the days of our lives. Now you struggle with this, and I struggle with this. It's like, okay, what do you mean God? I mean, so does God like kill people, or does God cause things? I don't know. Does God just know how many days we're going to live? Or does he decide how many days we're going to live? I don't know. Here's what's important in this, is that for most of you, whether you recognize it or not, and whether you can explain it or not, because none of us can explain this very well, most of us believe that God has something to do with the length of our lives, and I can prove it to you. If you found out tomorrow that you had a terminal disease, would you pray? If you found out tomorrow someone you loved had a terminal disease, would you pray? And if, regardless of the fact you haven't prayed in a long, long time, if something in you, you would lift your eyes and say, oh God, even if that was your whole prayer, oh God, or oh my God, there's something in you that believes that somehow God has something to do, I can't explain it, with the number of the days of our lives. He continues. He says, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch, which is like 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours, but about 3 hours, or like a watch in the night. In other words, this is Moses' way of saying, God, you know how I keep saying, wow, the years are flying by? Imagine how they fly by for you. God, as I get older, you know, the years just go by so quick. Wow, you're God. You're like everlasting to everlasting. Imagine how time flies for God, everlasting to everlasting. He says, you know, for me, it's like, here comes a year, here comes a year. Wow, where did the last 10 years go? But God, for you, like 1,000 years is like 3 hours. That's which means God. From everlasting to everlasting, how long does my life look? God, from everlasting to everlasting, my whole life is such a big deal to me. How must my life look within the context of 1,000 years is like 3 hours to you? Yet, he goes on, yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like, now he's talking about you and talking about me. He says, they are like the new grass of the morning. Oh, a little baby's born. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, she's so cute. Oh, they have their whole life ahead of them. They're like the new grass of the morning. In the morning, it springs up new. Oh, but by evening, it is dry and withered and dies. He says, God, I guess from your perspective, our long years, you know, in a minute, he's going to say some people get 70, some people get 80. Moses got 120, you know, he has more perspective than us. He says, I guess from your perspective, our entire lives that we get so jacked up about, I guess from our perspective, it's kind of like grass that pops up in the morning and is dead by late afternoon. Isn't this exciting and motivating? Aren't you glad you came to church and you're watching today? Okay, now, then he goes on. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them, talking about the best of our years, yet the best of our years are but trouble and sorrow. See, if you've had a lot of trouble and sorrow in your life, Moses is going, okay, let me tell you my story. 40 years keeping sheep, thinking that's it. And then things pick up for me. Let my people go. Then 40 years walking around in a circle with a bunch of complaining people. I get right to the edge of the Holy Land and God says, oh, you can't go in. Now, what was your sorry story and sorrow and pain and heartache? Never mind, Moses. I think you win. Okay, that's like the worst thing I ever heard, Moses. Moses going, I know. Wow, how do we believe in such a good God? And Moses is going, oh, don't lose faith. Just because you're dwarfed by God's magnitude and because you're dwarfed by the brevity of your life. Look at this. For they, talking about the years, for they quickly pass and we fly away. How many of you at some point growing up at camp sang the song, I'll fly away? At home, come on, at home, yeah, right. That's where it came from, right there. That's where that song came from. You're thinking, you were singing a verse from Moses, you didn't even know it. Here's his point, that time and life passes quickly. He continues, if only we knew. Now, this is a really confusing verse. I'm going to read it to you, then explain it to you. This is tricky. If only we knew. In other words, if only we could understand, if only we could embrace, if only we could comprehend the power of your anger. It's like, whoa, the power of your anger. Your wrath, we hate that word, don't we? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. That just seems like a very poorly constructed sentence, doesn't it? With three different ideas and maybe some words dropped out in the middle, right? This is a difficult Hebrew verse to translate into English, and lots of different English translations take a shot at it, and this is probably as good as it gets. So let me tell you what it means instead of exactly what it says. Here's an idea. Let me put this up here for you. If we could see God as he is, we would give him the reverence he is due. Here's what Moses is saying. You're everlasting to everlasting. I'm like a beep piece of grass, here today, gone tomorrow. My life is like boom, 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 boom. It's going by so fast, but if I think it's going by fast, oh my gosh, my life is just not even a fraction of a second because, you know, to you, 3 hours is like 1,000 years. So Moses kind of pauses in this big grand explanation and says, wow, if we could somehow see God as he is, then when it comes to our time and our lives, we would give him the reverence that he is due, because I only have a tiny, 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 tiny little itty bitty slice of time to do something with. And wouldn't the rational, logical, correct thing to do be to somehow, in my little itty bitty blip of existence, give God the glory he's due? Here's another way to read it. If we could see God as he is, we would be more careful with the time we've been allotted. If we saw God as who God is and realized he gave us life and gave us time and he's everlasting to everlasting and we're here today and gone tomorrow like grass, then we would probably rethink what we do with this gift of limited time that we have been given, wouldn't we? See, we don't think like this. It takes Moses to kind of push us back to look at the context of our lives, because the context of my life is my life. Moses says, no, the context of your life is everlasting to everlasting. And it is good to pause every once in a while and contemplate the brevity of life, because as he's about to say, in contemplating the brevity of life, in contemplating the fact that your time is limited, it will indirectly and eventually directly impact what you decide to do with your time. So he comes now to the application. And we looked at this verse about 2.5 years ago. If it sounds familiar, I hope it does, because it's such a powerful reminder. Look what he says. Teach us, because we don't do this naturally. Teach us to number our days. Or another way of saying it is this: teach us to live as if our days are numbered. Yesterday, Sandra and I took a long walk together. It was great. And we were talking about this stuff because it's so convicting. And we admitted, you know, we live as if we're going to live forever. We spend our time as if we're always going to have our kids. We spend our time as if we're always going to have each other. We spend our time as if we're always going to have this job. We spend our time as if we're always going to have our parents. We spend our time as if our time is unlimited, and we know it's not, but in terms of how we schedule and how we cram in and what we prioritize, we live as if our days are not numbered. And Moses says, no, it's a huge mistake. You need to learn to number your days, which means learn to live as if your days are numbered. Now, teach us to number our days that, this leads somewhere, this goes somewhere, here's the result, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to live as if our days are numbered, because in living as if our days are numbered, we will gain wisdom insofar as what we should put in, what we should leave out, and what should be the priority. If you live as if your days are not numbered, you will continue to fill your days with things that later on you wish you had not filled your days with. But when you begin to number your days, you immediately, as we're going to see in a minute, you immediately gain wisdom. You immediately gain a perspective. It's like, wait a minute, I can't spend my time doing that. I need to spend more time doing that. I need to spend no time doing that. I need to begin spending time doing that. So backing up from the entire passage, here's kind of a summary statement for everything Moses has just taught us. Remembering our time is limited provides us with wisdom to know how to spend our limited time. Remembering that our time is limited gives us the insight or the wisdom we need to know how to spend our limited time. Bronnie Ware is an Australian nurse. Bronnie spends most of her time with men and women the last 12 weeks of their life. She works in hospice in a specific context. And so for many years, she has spent time with people who have about 12 weeks to live. And she stays with them all the way through to the end. So some time ago, she began to ask these individuals questions. And in many cases, as she writes in her article, which is eventually going to be a book, or it might already be a book by now, the time that you're hearing or watching this, in her writings at the end, she asked these patients of hers, do you have any regrets? What are your regrets? And she began, as you might imagine, to hear a pattern. And she began to write these things down. So today, just to help you fast forward and get a perspective that you won't have any other way, I want to share with you the top two regrets that people have within the last 12 weeks, or actually, in this case, the last few days, and in some cases, the last few hours of their life. Now, I'm going to give you the second one first and then the top one. And the second one is the one that you might expect to be the top one. And here's what they say. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Nothing new there, huh? How many times have we heard that? I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Now, I want to read a statement she makes about this insight. Here's what she says. This came from every male patient that I nursed. Every single man at the end said, I wish I had not worked so hard. They missed their children's youth and their partner's companionship. Women also spoke of this regret, but as most were from an older generation, many of the female patients had not been breadwinners. All of the men I nursed deeply regretted spending so much of their lives on the treadmill of a work existence. You thank me later for that, huh? There you have it. You know what this means, men and women, but men? It means if we don't learn to number our days, we will misspend our time, our life, and we will have an avoidable regret. Because when you think you have all the time in the world with your kids and all the time in the world with your spouse and all the time in the world and all the time in the world and all the time in the world, and then you suddenly realize you don't have all the time in the world, you can't go back. You only get to be 20 once. You only get to be 30 once. You only get to be 40 a couple times, okay? You get to be 50 indefinitely. No, okay, you get to be 20 once, 30. I mean, these are stages of life you can't go back around. You can't undo. And now somebody, here's why this is so important. Listen, because these are men and women who are numbering their days because they cannot avoid any longer that their days are numbered. And here is the wisdom that suddenly they're confronted with. The second one, or actually the number one regret. Now, before we show it to you, the number one regret. If you're a teenager, college student, grad student, you need to tune in. If you've tuned out, tune back in, you know, because this is huge. I can't wait to sit down with my college age sons and talk about this. This is extraordinary. This is the number one, the most common regret that people had. Here it is. I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. I wish I'd had the courage to live true to myself and not the life other people, culture, expected of me. That was a staggering thing to bump into. Here's what she said. This was the most common regret of all. When people realize that their life is almost over and look back clearly on it, it is easy to see how many dreams have gone unfulfilled. Most people had not honored even half of their dreams and had to die knowing that it was due, look at this, that it was due to the choices they had made or not made. And this is so powerful. Health brings a freedom very few realize until they no longer have it. Health brings a freedom that very few realize until they no longer have it. Now, I've just done you a favor. I just fast forwarded you to the end. You now have the wisdom that comes with living as if your days are numbered. So what do you do with that? What do you do with that when you look at your current schedule? What do you do with that when you look at your current pace? What do you do with that when you realize there's very little space between my current pace and my limits? What do you do with that? Lord, give us the wisdom that comes with living as if our days are numbered. God, my time is limited. That means I have to be limited in how I spend my time. My time is limited. That means I need to limit the way I spend my time. Now, I know what your pushback is. I get this. I'm not different from you. I just get to talk every week, okay? I understand what goes on in our head. It goes something like this. But Andy, if I don't do as much as I possibly can, I'll never make it. What's it? I don't know, but I won't make it. Do you know what the people who that she spent time with would say to us? You better make sure you've chosen the right it. Because you can spend your whole life trying to make it and get to the end and realize it was the wrong it. And let's be honest, we're too busy to think about it. But you better know what this is if you're gonna pack your life full of things that help you get there. What is make it? What is it? Now, let me tell you where it came from. Most of you, it came from your parents because they were massively successful and you're intimidated, or they were massively failures and you don't want to be like them, or they were massively in the middle and their lives were boring. There's no way to win with parents, really, is there? You don't want to be like them. You want to be like them in some ways, but you'll never live up, or I don't want to actually end up there, or their lives were just I'd rather just drop out of school and just drive around in California than just have a, you know, get up, go to work, and come home every day. So somewhere along the way, we decide what it is, and we start working for it. I understand that. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you believe there's a personal God who has a personal plan for your life like I believe and like many of us believe, do you understand how extraordinarily important this is? Because God has something he wants you to do, and if you're not careful, you'll miss it because people will determine for you what needs to be in, what needs to be out, and what priority it needs to be given. God has something for your family. God has something for your kids. God has something specifically for you while you're single because you have a little bit more time and a little bit more margin, and it's being filled up and taken away by people around you who say, this is how you're to live your life. And God's going, no. Look, number your days. Live as if your days are numbered, because by doing so, you will automatically gain insight. You will automatically gain a heart of wisdom. Now, I want to help you even further. We're going to give you a little homework assignment, okay? Let me tell you how this works. When you walk out today, you're going to get a card that looks like this. And I want you to fill this out. And let me tell you how this is going to be so helpful. If you are married or you have a close friend or your boyfriend or girlfriend, even if you live with somebody and you're close and you're kind of got the whole thing going on, you need to talk about this together. If you're a student and you dare talk about it with your parents, you talk about it with your parents. Parents, you need to talk about this with your kids. All right? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think through, what do I need to add to my schedule that's not there? What do I need to add? What do I need to subtract? What do I need to add? What do I need to remove completely? Now, let me talk about this for just a second. This is tough. For some of you, you need to put a name there. For some of you, you need to put a series of initials there. Because if I could be so bold, there are some people or there's a person in your life and they're stealing your life from you. And you know it. And your close friends have told you, your mama told you, your daddy told you. And you've complained and you've pushed back and you've argued and you said, yeah, but they're a nice person and na-na-na-na-na-na. But you know in your heart that they have forced so many things into your life and into your time and into your schedule and they're stealing your life from you. And they're not bad people. They just take away too much of your time and there's nothing to show for it. It may be friends. It may be weekend thing. It may be couples. Maybe you're a couple and you've got a couple of couples and you know what? It's just, I mean, it's not that they're bad people. It's not that God doesn't love them, but in terms of, you know, numbering your days and living as if your days are numbered, maybe for this season, somebody's got to go. And then on this line, you're going to write what needs to be turned up a little bit. What do I need to do more of? On this line, you're going to write, what do I need to do less of? I can't get rid of it altogether, but you know what? I'm spending too much time on that. We as a couple or as a family, we're spending too much time on that. We don't need to throw away all the televisions, but we need to spend a little less time as a family, maybe in front of the television. I don't need to quit playing golf altogether, but you know, maybe I need to turn that down a little bit. I love to pick on golf because I don't play golf. It's so easy for me, okay? So, but the point is, and I don't hunt either. That's, you know, anyway, okay. So you hunt less. I don't have any hobbies except talking to you on the weekends, pretty much it, okay? Don't be like me. The point is this. I'm serious. For some of you, this is a life changer because it's a time changer and your time is your life. And then I want, if for those of you who are in small group, community group, I want you to talk about it. You don't have to study for a curriculum. You all just fill out your card and show up this weekend in your small group. You say, okay, a little accountability time. There's something that has dropped off of my schedule. It got crammed out. There wasn't any room for it and I got to put it back in, which means something's got to come out. Somebody has to come out. There's something I need to turn up a little bit. There's something I need to turn down a little bit. God, teach me, teach us to number our days that we might gain what we don't have, that we might gain what has eluded us, that we might gain what most people never get, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Because my time is limited, which means I need to limit what I do with my time. My time is limited. That means I need to limit what I do with my time. And if you will allow this big, broad, you know, God-sized perspective to trickle down into the details of your day and the details of your weekend and the details of your life, it will change your life. And here's how I know that. Because when you begin to live as if your days are numbered, you will gain a heart of wisdom. When you begin to live as if your days are numbered, you will gain a heart of wisdom.
Thanks so much for listening to Your Move, and special thanks to our supporters for making Your Move possible. If you enjoyed the episode you just heard, or you've been listening to Your Move for years and haven't taken the time to give yet, consider making a gift now at yourmove.is/give. That's yourmove.is/give. It only takes a couple of minutes to keep Your Move free for you and people all across the world.